I'm glad you're here together. I'm glad we're here together as a family, and we honor the Lord in our worship and our praise. And I believe that God wants to speak to your heart something that would help lift you up and carry you into the plans that He has in store for your life. Come on. Amen. Glory to God. So I want to begin to talk to you today. We're going to just jump into it. I want to begin to talk to you today about power over sin, self, and Satan. Power over sin, self, and Satan. We need to understand this truth, of the Word of God. We need to understand this truth because it's the foundation. Having this foundation is pivotal to our enjoying the victory of Jesus Christ for us. We need to understand that we are not just being. I'm going to deal with sin and self majorly and show you, and I'll explain to you why we will talk about sin and self and as the core thing there, and then we'll talk about sin, self, definitely Satan. But you will see where Satan lies in this whole matter. I trust that you open up your heart, and I want you to pay attention. We're breaking religious notion. This teaching will break religious notion. It will bring you to a place, where you will truthfully enjoy the peace of God, the victory of Jesus Christ for your life. Amen. All right. So we're going to talk about power over sin, self, and Satan. So this conversation has been long bubbling in my heart. I've said this maybe in January, and we've got to talk about victory. I had a lot of people talk to me about victory and how we must draw the church, must bring the church to understand and to see the victory of Jesus Christ, and to the victory of Jesus Christ and what it actually meant, and that victory would begin from inside of our spirit, inside of our soul, and our spirit, our soul, our bodies. We need to enjoy the victory of Christ. When he began to talk to me in December, he was just talking to me about greed, loss, you know, things in our, that battle in our soul, and you know, hinder us. And I didn't know where we were going to. I didn't know I was going to be doing this, definitely. But truly, when in the course of preparing for our Easter meeting, the Lord began to draw me in this direction. And so that's why I began to think about this. And so let me bring this truth to the body of Christ. And because Easter, we talk about the victory of Jesus Christ on the cross and how he rose again from the dead. And then we now say that he has given us power to go ahead and fulfill and accomplish our destinies. And now, like I said, somebody says, let the evil things stay in the grave and then the good things come out of the grave. But that is the question. What are the things that actually hinder us? What are the things that were against us that he came to take away? And so we began straight looking at scriptures. We jumped into scriptures in Matthew chapter number 1. Can we look at, we're going to just review that because it's as if it's coming from Easter, but it's actually now I'm dealing with something that will go the next few weeks to talk about. And I want you, if you've not been taking notes, this is a powerful service. I want you to take notes because you will need to go back and review these notes. It's going to fly across religion and break the power of the devil in your life and bring it to a place where you begin to enjoy more of the provision of God for your life. Amen. Because Satan would hide behind lies. And those lies, even though they seem small, the effect to you is too great. It's too great. There are a lot of things that they have spoken to me about. I want to begin to cover today. I believe that this meeting will be that one kind of a meeting that will be an aha for you and bring you to a new place. Bring you to a new place. And again, I think this will be the point. I also rejoice with those who have joined us online. I rejoice because you're not here, but you can participate and partake of this great truth, this great revelation from God's word. In Matthew chapter number 1 and verse number 18, the Bible says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, Jesus. The reason for this is because, for he shall save his people from their sins. You see that he will save his people from their sins. While salvation seems to be an issue there, for they will think about salvation and they will think about the Romans, right? Think about the Romans and all that. But it says the real issue here and the oppression you see on the outside from the Romans is not your real problem. The real issue is you need to be saved from your sin, right? Are you here?
Yes,
sir. It's very important. We've talked about grace, but when we talk about grace, we somehow talk about grace without talking about sin, and you can't even enjoy grace if you don't know what sin is. That is the truth. I mean, if we give you an eraser and you've not written anything, the eraser is useless. You can't enjoy grace, and you wonder why he's talking about grace when we have not talked about sin. And in the bid to hide sin, so that we don't even want to use the word sin, so that people don't hear the word sin, it doesn't now mean that they will not now go ahead and sin against God. So my discussion here is to show you, is to bring that thought of sin there, to expose it today, and to show you that God has given us power to deal with it. I'm going somewhere, so you stay with me. So we see that Jesus, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. There's going to be a saving. But the saving is that he's going to save them from their sin. It means their sin was a problem to them. The sin was a problem. So he had to save them from their sin. Do you understand that? Somebody said it was Satan that was their problem. It was not Satan. It was their sin that was their problem. It was not Satan. I will show you. Right? So we have this scripture, and then we also have John chapter number 1. I want to look at that before I move on. He will save his people from their sin. So he came, if God saw you, and at first he was concerned, your problem was your sin. And we must wake up to that. We must say, oh, that is that. And then that's how and when we'll be able to enjoy the death of Jesus Christ. We'll now be able to really take it for what it is and enjoy it. We'll now be able to actually worship Jesus and give him praise. Because we don't give him praise because we're saying now that the things that he came to do, he didn't really do them totally well. And yet, he left us with this problem that we have to continue to battle with. Because, alas, we still have problems and challenges around us. So it means that his death is somehow, he died, thank God, you know. And then I have a sin problem that I'm still dealing with now. I've received him into my life. There is still oppression from here and there in my life. See that it's almost as if he didn't die. Because me and that boy standing there have not received Jesus. There's seemingly no difference. But the reason why there is seemingly no difference is because we have ignored the reason why he came to die. If we get that right, then we'll begin to see the difference on the outside. In John chapter number 1 and verse number 29, John chapter 1 and verse 29, it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He says, this is the Lamb of God. He takes away. You see, John's concept again of Jesus. I know this. We did this last week. Don't never be in a hurry. I never want to be in a hurry. The Word of God is alive, and you must let it dawn. You must let it dawn. Learn that. I know people. When I say that, please, I have notes. I mean that. You see, it's not the story. When I have them like this again, I tell you, it means it is a concept here. Don't be in a hurry. Don't say you read the Bible and pass. Don't read it and pass. Do you contemplate what it says there? That is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Have you contemplated it there? If he has taken away the sin of the world, which sin are you now sinning? It's a thought. Those are thoughts. That's why we read the Bible and read it. We just pass like that. If he has taken away the sin, which sin is now in this world now? You see now, what am I now still sinning? I told you have to be dynamic with me here. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, go to verse number 5. Let me show you something there. I will show you. And verse number 517, you see that there. Quickly move there. I want to show you something. We see, when it says the Lamb of God, it takes away his son. We don't look at those scriptures and enjoy them, right? It says now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, not 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we know the scripture very well. It says in verse number 17, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself. You will see something there. He has reconciled us to himself. The problem we had was what? Separation from God. I'm showing you something very critical. You have to pay attention. You can't miss it. I told them, I said, you'll be dynamic today because I'll be dynamic. I'm not, these things are there, but I will flow. It says now, who has reconciled us to himself, right? By Jesus Christ, and had given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Right? Be reconciled to God. You see that Satan is not in that matter. Have you not found? There's no Satan. Everything I've read, they have not said Satan. I've not said Satan. The real problem here is your relationship with God. And the real thing that caused the problem in that relationship is sin. He doesn't mention Satan. He's the non-entity in this matter. When I say that, you see, you're not afraid of Satan. I can never be. This is the revelation I'm showing you now. You will never be. You won't join. You know, when you are counting things, you will not join. In this, all the things you have read now, Satan has not come up. I will show you Satan. When I show you Genesis chapter 3, you will shout. I mean, till there's revelation, you won't miss. You see there. He didn't say Satan now. Now then, verse 20 now, right? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We are telling you, come to God, be reconciled to God. Why? Because remember that he had handled the matter. For, this is the reason why you should be reconciled to God. You see that for, right? You say, I cannot be reconciled to God. This is why you can be reconciled to God. For he made him, Jesus, to be what? To be what? For us. So Jesus did not come... So you see that in the death of Jesus Christ is not to come and deal with Satan, it's to deal with one thing, sin. So he made this sin for us, so that right now you and I can be reconciled to God. Right? We can be reconciled to God because he had made him, see, he made him to be sin for us. Right? Who knew no sin? He did not know any sin. The issue is this. When we take this scripture, I have taught, I'm a Bible teacher, so I'm telling you something. When we take this scripture, we leave sin and we take, for example, health. He made him to take away my sickness. Right? That is the problem. It's something that we come across, we thought because of how they taught us, and all that. But it's an error there. It is sin that is that opened the door for all those things. That is why he did not now say here that he made him sickness for us. But he said he made him sin for us. Now, if he made him sin for us, and we know from scripture that he took away the sin. Come on. Now he said he made him sin for us. He knew no sin, but he made Jesus to be what? For us. Sin for us. Now that we might now be made the righteousness of God in him, right? Now, if he made him to be sin for us, and he didn't know sin, but he made him our own sin, then means there's no sin again left in us. There's no sin left. Unless you now say this scripture is now off. So you cannot even sin. It's not possible. He made him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? He took away the important thing there, the challenge, which is sin. In 1 Samuel 17, go back to 17. I'm going to do it again. I want it to. You get it. I prayed for you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Right? He reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And had given to us the ministry of reconciling. To wit, that God was now in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world unto himself. He was balancing the sheet there. Not imputing their trespasses anymore. Right? He was not dealing with the devil. He was dealing with the obstacle between us and Satan. And himself, right? And was dealing with that obstacle. That is sin. Satan is not in the picture at all. He wanted to render him powerless again. The only way he can render Satan powerless, because the sting of sin is what? Death. The only way he can render him powerless again was to take away the sin. So therefore, you don't have any sting again. You can't do anything again. Because I have taken away the distance between man and myself. We have now been reconciled to God. There is another error. So I think I've shown you that. You have to see that. Meditate upon the scripture. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So, this way you put it like this. Let me do it for you. There is God. There is man. There is Satan. Right? The issue now is that don't focus on Satan. Focus on God and man. That God there and man there. There is a problem with man and God. And that problem is sin. So Jesus Christ came to take away the gulf, the problem between God and man. When he did that and restored this thing again, there is power over that one. That is why the Bible says, listen now, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Who did Adam offend? Who did man offend? Who is offended in sin? Not Satan. God. Before I go further, I'm going to give you, you have to stay here and pay attention. Not everybody uses it because it will fly in against what you know. I will show you where you see that now in Genesis. Let me go there quickly. Genesis chapter 3. Or rather, Acts of the Apostles. I have several, don't worry. Acts of the Apostles chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3. Let me show you. I want to connect it. You'll be taking notes. So I said, take note and go and look at them. Acts chapter number 3. This is supposed to change everything. Verse number 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son, sent him to what? How does he bless you? Do not sing that yet. How does he bless you? It's a simple question. He said he sent him to bless you. And he said, I'm blessed. That's the thing there. While we are shouting I'm blessed, we are living in sin. And allowing the devil to inroad in our lives. And so, you are having a problem and you are not saying he cannot bless. That's why they say his hand is short. His hand is not short. The real issue there is not as if his hand is too short to reach you. The real issue there is sin. Someone now say, are you talking about the sin? So what did he now do? I thought you said, that's why I'm trying to show you Jesus. You have to go to see Jesus for the first time. Maybe many of you. That he has taken away your sin. That's what he do. He came to turn you away. Away from he turned every one of you from his iniquities. From his sins. You see blessing and sin in the same verse. God sent him to bless you by giving you a Rolls Royce. Rolls Royce is not the problem. He sent him to bless you by killing Satan. No. He sent him to bless you because he knows that once he turns you away from that sin there, you have power. You can now begin to accomplish anything you want to accomplish. So Jesus Christ came and dealt with sin. And one thing we know, we have known in our minds, everybody knows that your sins are forgiven. We know that. The issue in your sins are forgiven is that we stop halfway in the process of what Jesus did. He didn't just die to forgive us our sins, he died to empower us so that we don't now sin again. That is where you can look at this scripture and says he didn't say he sent him to bless you in forgiving you your sins. Come on. He sent him to bless you in what? In turning you away from sin. So you Brothers and sisters, you have been turned away from your sins. Do you understand what I'm saying there? He didn't just forgive it. Let me show, I'll give you another one. We'll stay here. We might even have to come back and revisit. Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
The blessing of God, when God says, I want to bless you, is turning you away from your sin. He didn't say you should do it. You didn't do it. He raised up his son Jesus. He sent his son Jesus to do it for you. That is the blessing he has given to you. He sent his son Jesus, whom he sent rather, to bless you. So Jesus came to bless you. And what blessing did he give to you? He turned you away from your sin. So where's your sin now? It's way behind you. He turned you away from it. Right? So it's no longer there. So even when sin comes, what you should tell sin is that the Lamb of God has taken away the sins. Jesus has turned me away from sin. So what are you saying here? You will get that victory over sin, over whatever it is, guilt, lust. Let me tell you, we'll all come to church. We shall praise the Lord. But the thing is boiling inside of us and nobody talks about it. I was telling my wife, she said, I have to talk about sin. I'm not talking about sin that you should go and deal with it. I'm showing you scripture that says he has done dealt with it. The problem is that we start trying to deal with sin. If anybody tells you, now you now need to try, you don't try. It's not a matter anymore. You have peace with God, and so the power of God flows into your life. Right? And the sin has been taken away on the cross. He made him to be sin for you. This sin you now say you've sinned now. Which one is it? We say that he was sick for you. So this sickness in your body, which one is it? Huh? Let us say the same thing concerning sin. Use the same word and say, which sin now is this sin that is now lost in my heart? There's this lust bubble is dwelling in my heart. Which one is this? Because he took away my sin and he has turned me away from sin. Sin, the power of sin will also be destroyed in your life.
Yes, sir.
If we don't focus on that, we will not be able to enjoy the victories of Jesus Christ over Satan. Let me show you. So let's keep doing. Let me show you, because this verse in John chapter 8, this verse puts the two of them together. Again, take notes. John chapter 8, verse 11. The woman caught in adultery. Right? She's caught in adultery. She's brought before Jesus. He does all that stuff. You know the story. And then he says, where are those that condemn you? She answers, I'm jumping in the time. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn you. But in my own Bible stuff, I have missed it too. So it's in this light I see it. We stop at neither do I condemn you. Are you condemned by Jesus? No. And we say, everybody go home. No. There is another thing that follows after that, and that is go and sin no more. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We must not stop there. I'm not joking. I will show you. I'm going to show this scripture in Romans 8. This thing exactly as it is now in Romans 8 again. So, neither do I condemn you is the first statement. The next statement is, it didn't say go and continue the way you are. When we come to church and we say we are a new creation church, you know, new creation church, the best we get to is new creation is, you are not. There's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. We say, hey, everybody, are you not happy? There's no condemnation. So you can stand before God without any sense of condemnation. The same God now says this, go and sin no more. It now means that it is possible. You will stand and tell me now, that Jesus said nonsense. And nobody will say that. He did not know what to say. Mm-mm. He was speaking of Revelation. Romans chapter 8. That is the only way. There's no way I can talk this talk without showing you scripture. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. Look at it. There is therefore now, no condemnation, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. They did not see themselves after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Right? Next verse. For the law of spirit is revelation. He was saying it. The woman could not do that because he had not yet died.
Yes,
that's why he said it. But he was giving us a truth that I'm going to teach you in 2026. You see that he said it on purpose so that I can teach you. That's how the scripture comes together. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. It now means that sin and death can no longer work. Number one, sin cannot work. Number two, death cannot work. That's why I said the law of sin and the law of death. So if there is the law of sin there, he said you are free from it.
Hallelujah.
He said this is there. You just need to know that you are free from sin. Most of them, they don't tell you that. They just say you are not condemned. You're not condemned though. Yeah, you are free from sin. But I'm not just saying that. He went further. Next verse. Four. And I explained this. Verse 1-4. For the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You see now. Now, he says there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free, from the law of sin, of death. Abi? Four. So how did this, it goes four and four and four. Four, next verse. For what the law could not do, is now explaining how it made you free. In that it was weak through the flesh, right? It didn't say he forgive you, he made you free. God sending his own son, in the world, in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for what? For what? For what again? What did he do to sin? Condemned sin in his flesh. He condemned it in his flesh. You see that now? He condemned it. Because he condemned sin in the flesh, the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. He did say it with his mouth. He did it. I'm telling you, you have to understand that. Let me go back again. He did say that the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from sin and death too. He actually took the sin. That's why I say four. What the law could not do because it was weak, God sent his son to actually do it. And he condemned sin in the flesh. When he died on the cross, Jesus condemned sin in the flesh. That is why the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. That is the atonement sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ condemned sin. Thus, establishing the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's not a God confession. It's not a God declaration. There's a declaration of something, and then you say, oh, that's what he said, so we have to stand by it. He had to die on the cross to actually make it happen. That is the enmity between God and man. He took it and destroyed it in the cross. And so therefore, there is no condemnation. Because, let's go from verse 1. There is no condemnation because the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. Because Jesus Christ actually destroyed sin. Right? You see that now? Sin. You find that in all this conversation, we're not discussing Satan. You know why we're not discussing Satan? Because Satan can't do anything. And I will show you now clearly. I think this one is the clearest scripture in Genesis chapter 3. This one is the clearest one. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Next verse. But the fruit of the tree of tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Right? Next verse. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, when your eyes, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Are you here? Stop. There's no. We can go further, but I don't want to. I want to now. Since you have read comprehension package, my son, if I'm anyone, is doing comprehension. This is comprehension for you. You will now ask you questions following it. Are you here? Satan was on the earth. Huh? He didn't bring sickness. He couldn't bring death. When Satan met Adam and Eve, it would have been easy, if you think he's powerful, to make them sick. He didn't need to talk to them. It doesn't come to your house to talk to you first. Try and make you sick. It makes you sick. It doesn't do that. Poverty, disease, all that. He couldn't do one thing on the earth. One thing. Why? God and man. Do you see that what I'm saying now? Which one was here first, Satan or sin? Comprehension package. Which one was here first? Satan was here first. Is it in your Bible now? But when he came, he couldn't do anything. Technically, we should be done. If you don't understand it from there, I don't believe you get it again. You don't want to. I'll do it again. Which one was in the earth first? In this earth, me and you are living. Which one was here first? Satan or sin? Was Satan going around and causing sickness and poverty and death? Could he? That was not the issue. He doesn't have that power. He can't put sickness on somebody. This scripture tells you can't. The only thing he now can do is cause them to enter into self. Not sin. I know you will say sin. I know that will catch everybody, but no. I will show you. He caused them to self. Every self is sin. Sin is a self against God. That's what sin is. In case of situation. So, Satan was here speaking English. As Satan as you know him, speaking English. He was speaking English to him. He's just speaking English. Try and put sickness on her. It would have worked. Make the whole place poor and make people poor and sick and suffering and depressed. Say there's depression. I feel about it. Sometimes depression just hit me. There's this thing in my body just come. He couldn't do it. If not, he would have just said, let them be, they would grow, give birth to children, do all that. And then he would just come and start putting his sickness and poverty on there. He could not. He started talking first. His talk was to say, what did God say? Then he said this, what God said. He said, that's not true. Man used our by himself and gave birth to sin. So sin, that's why I want to show you. I'm going somewhere with this talk. This thing I'm saying is deep. Now that sin is an entity separate from Satan. Why? If you go to fornicate in a girl's house, Satan did not fornicate, it's you that fornicated. He doesn't benefit from your sin. It's a separate entity. Neither does God. They don't benefit. Nothing happens. Somebody says fornication is bad because you are foiling Satan. You can't foil him. How does your fornication affect him? If you now go and steal money in the bank and you are stealing the money and you are hiding inside who doing it, who is spending the money? Satan does not spend money. So it's nothing. Sin is a separate entity from Satan clearly. Because he can be there, but he can't do anything. He uses sin as a tool to get to man. So he now said, what I must do to these men so that from today you will hate sin. I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying. Believers don't hate sin. They just feel that it's okay. And so it's okay. No, you will hate it. You will see that in truth. Satan is not, don't do it because of him. Do it for Satan. It doesn't have to do with Satan. Now, so let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 3. I'm teaching you from Genesis. I'm not quoting scripture. I'm not just talking and walking away. Genesis 3. If anybody take it, now you are free to go anywhere. Now I've given you something. It's not a book. I'm not reading a book. I'm telling you what he's telling me. So you go and Genesis 3, and you see Satan is there talking to her. Why? Because I can't do anything to you. I really can't do anything on you. I don't have that power. But when you and this God separate, sometimes you now begin to magnify Jesus. If you play with Jesus or his death, you don't even people, I don't have money, I don't know what this Jesus is doing. You see why the problem is there. Because you don't understand that poverty has to become after sin. So you deal with sin, then you start to get prosperous. That's why they don't understand where the pastor is coming from. You think it's quoting I prosper today. You can quote it from now till you die. Nothing will happen. Till you first get the knowledge of sin. That is useless. Right? So Satan comes to him and say now that talk to her blah, 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 because I can't do anything. Adam and Eve now disobeyed God. When they disobey God, then they establish a place, a problem between them and God. Somebody was offended in that thing that happened. It was not Satan. Satan was laughing. Satan was laughing. God was offended. Now, because he's a holy God, he can't deal with it. Nothing he can do with you again. His shield, protection, power, life. They've never received that life. They've just been alive. They've not received the life and nature of God. All that is away from you. He cannot deal with you. And right? Is it? As in, at that time, he could not even do anything. You get that revelation now. So God now is now separated from man. Then guess what happens? Satan is now enters into the vision. Now he can now do something to them because they have no business, no life connecting link with God, no connecting with God. Then death can now enter. So death could not enter. So you remember how Romans 12 read last week? It was sin that came first. After sin came, then he can now funnel death into the earth. He was in the earth, but he could not cause one person to die. Something had to come first. That is why Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Something has to be taken away first. What has to be taken away first? Sin. I preach. I've been doing this for years. This is liberating. You can magnify Jesus now. Because the thing he has done, he has taken away your sin. And when you see he has taken away your sin, it will be easy for him to take away your sickness also. Mark chapter 2. I'm connecting them. I'm showing you. I will now come and review them again. If I don't review them again this week, I'll review next week. Because sometimes you will just hear and walk away and go. If we don't understand this thing, we'll not be able to really enjoy the benefits. Jesus demonstrated it here again. Clearly in Mark chapter 2. He showed us. They came with this man. He showed us. They came with this man to be healed. The man that was carried by his four friends, right? And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof and where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. Next verse. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, arise up, take up your bed and walk. Because he was showing us that sin there and sin, they are the same thing. You understand there? He tackled it and said, son, thy sins be forgiven. You see that now? That's it. That's clear. Are you seeing sin? Satan is not, in the cost. They're not dealing with Satan. He didn't start binding Satan. He said, your sins are forgiven. That is why a believer can rise up with this knowledge I'm teaching you. You can by yourself, you will not see clearly the pathway for that thing not to happen. So we were discussing this matter last week. This is clear, right? Do I need to start making noise on this one? How can you see a man that is sick of the past and you say your sins are forgiven? Because the only way he could be like that, if he were in the garden when Satan was there, he wouldn't have walked. The only way we are that because there's an operational system. There's a system, and it's a Satan. There's a system on the earth called sin. That sin now, Satan can use that road to reach you. He put dynamite on the bridge and scattered it. Did you understand? Satan cannot reach you. So we say, what about when I sin? He has forgiven you. He has empowered you also not to sin. He has turned you away from sin. Even when you say, what about if I sin tomorrow morning, you have forgiveness for that sin already. You should know that now. I'm only telling you that you don't even need to in the first place. You should not even. And if you want to fight all the battles, I'm telling you, just like God, have sense. Fight the first battle first. Deal with sin. Start to deal with it. Start to be angry with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to get that. Do you get what I'm saying now? Somebody says, should I not confess against Satan? Please continue doing that. But I'm telling you, your real anger should not be against your poverty. Forget poverty. Once you start walking in the purity of God, you know why? You know the statement everybody has agrees. Purity is what? Purity is power. Everybody says it now. Purity is power. Once you get there, you start to have a self-consciousness and power to release and stop him. Now, with this truth, you can stop him. Again, because I want to show you revelation. Are you still here? So, if he says to this man, like he says here now, son, thy sins are forgiven. It's something I'll pray. Instead of saying, rise up, take up your bed and walk. You say he could have done that. He said, I could have done that. I just want to show you. It's a revelation. Say, which is easier? You know, that, I love that. Where Jesus start trouble, you just... But you see that it was not, he doesn't do anything for a joke. When he said to Moses, speak to the rock, after he first struck the rock the first time, he says, it's a serious matter, you have offended. He said, you have offended. Speak to the rock, water come out. Now Moses said, go and strike the rock, water come out. Now Moses, go and speak to the rock, water come out, before my people. He goes there, he takes the stick, he strikes the rock again. The thing I sent you to do, there's a reason why. My son will not die twice. You broke, revelation. In this act, this revelation. You broke something, you damaged what my picture I'm trying to show you. That is why Moses begged him. He said, if he allowed him, he will break Jesus. Do you understand that? Moses begged, he said, this matter, don't bring it up again. You die here. Not what happened. If he allowed him, he will not say, you struck Jesus twice and still passed. You can never pass. That thing has caused a problem. We will still get the revelation, but you has broken something that I am trying to do. The system. So when he says that your sins are forgiven, he did it on purpose so that I can teach you today from this verse. And people can carry this thing and teach everywhere. That the man sick, when Jesus saw their faith, he saw their faith and he said unto the sick of the passage, your sins are forgiven. How does that connect? Also show you that thing you are seeing as separate things is one thing. If you can deal with that one, the other thing will come. Today, my goal in this teaching, the purpose of this teaching, is that you arise and say, Father, you know, I want to walk with you. I want to enjoy the fullness of your cross. And just like when you came, the first thing you dealt with sin. The first thing I want to finish, because if it carries you, are you here with me? If it carries you past that place and sin is still there, let me tell you, what will drag a believer off speaking in tongues who is a millionaire down? Huh? At the end of the day, it's what? Do you get what I say? You didn't hear that. If he carries you past it, which is too possible, and you pass it, and you've not gotten this thing, you can be chairman, board of directors of all the companies and this thing, and then you will shame the whole thing. The stupid acts of stupid, ignorant nonsense. So you want to deal with it. You want to be angry about it. You want to get there, and then you will rise in the power of the name of Jesus. And then you will stand there, and you will resist the devil. You get what I'm saying now? So, Jesus Christ came to die for us. Not just to forgive us, to provide forgiveness to our sin, but to provide also power over sin. In essence, he didn't just forgive us. He provided the means by which we will not now need to go back at all. At all. We don't need to go back. We just now need to know. Because while I am busy resisting Satan, and we are praying night and day, we accommodate sin, accommodate it, and feel condemned. And then when we turn to Satan, Satan says, wait. He doesn't say it out loud. He says it into your mind. Wait, calm down. You know. Then you turn again and you say, Father, I thank you because you have forgiven me. You should also say, Father, I thank you because you have given me the power over sin without going into it. Right? When you have taken the power over sin, then you will turn and you will say, you have no business here, Satan. You have no business in my life. You will not be saying, Satan, you have no business in my life. Let me tell you this. Let me do this like this. When he came and he died, like I told you already, Genesis 3. If you see Genesis 3, you see that somebody was laughing. Somebody was sad. Right? Somebody was laughing. Somebody was sad. Sad, God. Laughing, Satan. Because now, he now has access. Access he didn't have. Right? When Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, somebody was sad and somebody was happy. You see that now? Yes. Satan was now sad because there's now a connection between man and God. All the man needs to do is to now accept Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ did, as Lord and Savior. He will be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ. You see it now? So his hold over him is gone, right? He will continue to attempt. He will continue to pressure that man. He will put lust there. Now, there's that flesh in there. Let me stop here. Corey, I want to do something before I go back there. So Jesus Christ did, and when he said he paid a price, I know you will want to now catch me because I have taught you. But when we say he paid a price, the general thought I know that is in the heart of believer is that he now paid Satan. He now says, Satan, leave my people alone. No, I have given you blood. You never hear Jesus and Satan in the matter. He took his blood where? To heaven. Not to Satan. The person we needed to appease is God, not Satan. Because Satan, I'm telling you, all these dealings was not Satan. It's not him. You make Satan something, and he's not, and he knows. That's the truth. It's just deceit in the church. You make him something, and he starts doing that. He really knows. The sin offering, the offering for sin was to God. That God, Jesus came and said, Father, all these people, not the earth, I keep saying that, not the earth. I want to say that because there was a teaching that a great man of God had done and corrupted the church. He did his best. But the truth is that it's not about title deed of the earth. As if Jesus came to retain the title. When man sinned, he gave the title deed of the earth to Satan. Satan now became the God of this world and owned the world. Everything in this world will still belong to God. At the end of the day, when he's done with this world, that you say Satan is only title deed and he's not the one that owned the title deed, he will burn the whole thing. The whole thing, this world, all this thing you are buying and want to kill yourself for, it will be burnt. The only thing that will remain is your soul. The veil, what Satan and what the devil and God is standing for and looking for is the souls of men. He wants to damn a soul, Satan. God wants to lift a soul up, his soul. So when the man sinned, now there's a separation between God and man. And Satan is there. He's now saying, I can afflict this man. Hitherto, I could not. I could only tell her to do something against you, to disobey you. Right? So now that she has separated from you, I cannot go this way. Now God is offended. And he says this, that you, me and you can't relate because of that thing you have done. And there's a nature in you that calls out to sin. You do it. We don't even need to try to. Like, nobody trains you. It's inside of you naturally. And me and man, in that nature, we cannot relate. Nothing will happen. In the old covenant, what he did was try to correct, and then the thing is inside there. But he was trying to show us clearly what sin was. Because unless there is a law, something can be eating you inside, you will not know. Nice. Okay, I'll leave that for next week. That's a delicate matter, very small, delicate matter. Why the law? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. There can be disease inside. The man will be suffering. He will not know why. He will not even know why Jesus will come and die in the first place. If he was never established a law. The reason why I have the scripture, I don't want to do that. I want to dumb you with the word first. Then you see, this is the scripture yourself. The reason why he now brings the law is so that sin can now show that, see, there's evil inside you. He said, for all have sinned, there is none righteous. Romans chapter 3. He said, there is none righteous, no, not one. He said, all have sinned. They will all go their way. These people, they are bad people. Romans 3, that's what I say, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He has to bring all under sin and show it clearly. If they tell you there's sin inside of you, you say, there's no sin inside of me. But, okay, the only way I cannot tell you there's sin inside, I'll say, thou shalt not steal. And you are stealing, I say, there's sin inside of you. I did not tell you. Do you see the place of the law? I love some of you got that now. That's what he did. He had to first of all show sin before he can kill it. So if he doesn't show us, we will know. Jesus will come. Just imagine. Men said, go in there. No law. They are doing everything. Jesus now came and died on the cross. We wonder, what is this madman doing? You won't be able to receive it. Why you receive it? But you know, every man that comes to God knows that there is something inside of me that is evil. It separates me from God. And even if I just can't help myself. That's when we say, Jesus, you are my savior. That's why you see, you understand this savior now. Do you understand? It will save his people from what? You memorize the scripture. You will declare it to the way you declare everything. Declare this one to Jesus. You have saved me from my sin. Do you understand? You can't say you are saved from my sin and live inside sin. It's not possible. So, if you go back, go 5-6 verses. Go 6. It's all there. It spoke about it for a long time. Okay. There's no fear of God. Go back. He's still coming. He was talking about very angry. Go back. Just go. All right. Let's stay here. They are all gone out of the way.
they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Next verse. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. And the way of peace, they don't know. It's trouble. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't fear God. Now, we know that what things soever the law said, he said to them who are under the law, that why? That every mouth may be what? Stopped. And all the world may become what? Guilty. So it's the guilty. I have to first show you the guilt before he brings the payment. Me and you cannot relate. You say, me and you can relate. Now man you be, now man I be. He said, no. If I don't tell you, you will see that why am I not talking to you? The reason why I'm not talking to you is because of these things there. I have to show you. Now, so that everybody will not become guilty. Jews and Greeks together. So that all the world may become guilty. Were they not guilty before? No. The reason why he said brings the law is so that they now become, the guilty now shows. Then he now said, I will now bring my lamp and pay the price. Then we cannot appreciate the payment. Alright? Imagine I tell you that I paid money to your debtor. You are hungry. And I'm telling you that I've settled him, don't worry. Money will you forgive me? Pastor, I'm not owing him a money. I paid the money to the sister. I gave the money to the sister. You see, you'll be fighting that. Because you have not, and you know, you will tell me, thank you, sir, thank you, sir. You'll be angry that I spent that money paying a debt that you are not even really owing. They'll job you. I don't pay that money, sis. And I'm like, no, but I gave back 50,000 for your behalf. Me, behalf. I'll tell you thank you for what? You throw money away. I mean, you forgot to tell me. You have the problem there. You have to first establish that there is sin there. And then he now came and then paid the sin for us. So now, when we see Jesus, thank you, Jesus. He said, what do I thank him for? The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He now brought you into a relationship with God. Now you are a child of God. Right? From here, you can now continue to live. Because after that, next verse. Can you read the next verse? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is what? The law brings knowledge of sin. That's what it says there. Next verse. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is what? By faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. There is now what? No difference. No difference, because actually all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody. So Jesus Christ came to bring everybody back to the glory of God. You see that there now? So when God was offended, there needs to be a price paid. I can't relate to you. Me and you can't talk. There has to be an atonement for sin. A price paid for that sin. Now, if the price has been paid, and you all of us will say the price has been paid, we mistakenly think that he took the price and paid Satan. That's wrong. Right? That's why we cannot be reconciled to God. It's hard. That's why it's hard to be reconciled to God. Because we are thinking he pays Satan and God is just managing us. It's not management system. He paid God full. He accepted the payment, so he rose up from the dead. The payment was accepted. He paid full. So God is not managing me. Do you understand? So let me do this for you. I told you I'm not turning there. We turn there. It's not me and you. We are here. If you say he pays Satan, you say now I am free from Satan, right? See why I told you there's one double fork that Christians hold. They are holding back God because they think God is angry. They are trying to fight Satan because Satan is against them. You find that you don't have any security anywhere. If you go to God, he will use thunder to kill you. If you go to Satan, Ogun will kill you. Somehow you are dead. You hear what I'm saying now? If you do that now, you say it's because he wants to kill you. So you are afraid. You go there now and you're afraid. So they are not having that peace with God. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 1. You see that there. So we must understand that Jesus Christ is not Satan he paid. Because if he paid him, and Satan is still choking his head, and still want to collect extra. You know when you bribe somebody, he no belleful, you stick on a what do they call it? Blackmail. Is he say, he didn't deal with Satan at all. You must learn that. He dealt with God and said, God, the price has been paid. Now, what the believer should now say when Satan comes? And he wants to bring death. Where there is no supposed to be death. Because the price has been paid. And now I have life with God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with Satan. The real problem is that we didn't have peace with God, though. Satan was captivating, capitalizing on your lack of peace with God to put trouble on your head. That's what he was capitalizing on. Finish. You know how your brother starts calling you when he's quarreling with your sister? That's how he's a neighbor. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, you didn't get that. The relationship you are having is not real. It's because this one having problem with this one. Once he has peace with, once you now have peace with God, then he has no problem again. Once he makes peace with that one, it has gone. Abi, that's what I'm talking about here. The reason why we even had relationship with Satan at all, why he could even come to be causing trouble in your life, is because two of you are in the same place. All have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. Huh? You cannot have relationship. That is why. So immediately you settle with your elder brother. You see what I'm saying now? You are now there again. We now have peace with God. You see, there's no Satan we're having peace with. We don't need to now make peace and I say, dear Mr. Satan, don't come home. Don't come home. He cannot even come. So now, when you want to resist the devil, you are not resisting him with any form of apologies here or consciousness there. There's no consciousness that he can now. He cannot now. Why? Why? What? For what reason? The price that has been paid within me and the guy, my helper. Huh? My helper and me, we have aligned. We don't align. Therefore, being justified by faith with God, we have peace with God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Me and my helper, we don't align. All that you want to say, anything, no triumph. Don't bring sickness, don't bring death into this house. Why? The question will always be, why? On what basis do you say, I should not do this? You must be able to say, I have peace with God. I mean, do you understand? Why do you have peace with God? Because Jesus Christ died. And when he died, now he died. What does that mean? Sin has been destroyed. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have peace with God, not with Satan. The real problem was that you did not have peace with God. So you had to talk to Satan. You didn't have option. You can't quarrel with the two people at the same time. Once you fell to this one for your hand. That's how you stay. Even you know now. Once you start quarreling with someone, you start calling another person. It happens in my family a lot. We are seven. If somebody that doesn't call me regularly, start calling me to check up on me, here you are quarreled with the other person. I know. I mean, I have sense. Because you've not checked up on me yet. No, you not check up on one, so. Let's just go. I just say, how are you doing everything? Oh, fine, everything fine. Listen. Next thing, you don't call me again. I was just thinking about this thing. Because there must be a call made. But now it cannot be made to that your fellow closest, bonded family member. It's me that is not the target. I just know. Once they mend, I will still know. The call will just finish. Suddenly. I know you are very busy. You can lie? No, really, I don't call you. No, you are very busy. Somebody called me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, inside my busy schedule. Suddenly. I'm busy. I'm just on busy. But when you are not calling me for lockdown, you now say, no, I can't. If I call you, I know you for pastor, work, doctor, you're always everywhere. If I call you, I don't even know that you'll be busy. Should I remind you? Do you mind that just June, you called me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I took your calls? It's a lie. You were quarreling with somebody that time. Do you see what I'm saying now? Now, we don't have relationship with Satan. We are now too busy for him now. Because before, it's only him. Now, we don't have business with him. With our main guy has been settled. we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's by faith, not by what you did. I'm now saying, I want to conclude my statement. I'm now saying that Jesus Christ has forgiven you of your sins. That is true. Right? I'm saying that there is now no consciousness of sin. The consciousness of sin and the power of sin has been dealt with. Also, so the believer, as much as he doesn't need to fight with Satan, have business with Satan, he also does not need to have a business with sin. Now, next week, you have to now wait. Next week, I will come and show you. I will give you a scripture today to entice you. Huh? In Romans chapter number 6. Then next week, I will come and show you that there are two separate things entirely. In dealing with sin, he dealt with Satan. Like I told you, sin came into the world, right? In verse number 14, go to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Let's do 5:12. We'll come to 6:14. I will show you something there. Wherefore, as by one man sin what entered the world. Was Satan already in the world again? Satan was already in the world. After Satan came, he made man disobey God. What now entered? Sin. You see that there? Sin entered the world. And death by sin. Death could not come before sin. Sin had to come before death. So he knows, I can't bring death where there's no sin. So I have to bring sin so that I can now introduce death. That was the only way he could do it. Now, I'm still going to actually. So you see now that he had to introduce another concept outside of himself. He's not sin. He is not. He introduced a concept. He's not sin. He doesn't do anything that affects sin. The concept introduced that caused enmity between God and man is the concept of sin, which is actually embodied in self. I will come there next week. I want to show you that sin. I'm trying to show you that sin itself is separate from Satan. Sin entered into the world. Sin entered into the world. It was not there before. It was Satan's conversation with Eve to make sure that they can open the door for sin to enter. In Romans chapter 6, verse number 14, we talk about Romans as the book of grace and talk about grace. And that is true. You can't talk about grace starting in Romans. But you now also find sin, discussion of sin, a lot in Romans. And we just dump it because we don't want to preach too much. He says, it is said for Satan shall not have dominion over you. This is your Bible. Look at that's why we put it there. So you should be looking at it. Not for what will not have dominion over you? So the question I'll now ask a believer, does sin still have dominion over you? So the believer will just not sin. He says no. He said the reason why is that sin has been destroyed. For you are not under the law anymore. You are now under grace. So sin has no power, no dominion over you. Sin as an entity wants to dominate you. When it dominates you, it brings death by Satan. Not Satan does not do sin. It is that sin that dominates. Say, sin shall not have what dominion. It means sin operating in your members shall not have dominion overrule you. Shall not have dominion over you. As a person, shall not overpower you. So you want to do this. He said it does not have the right, the capability to dominate you as a child of God. So when you now see someone and say, Pastor, this thing you don't understand. And not to die from this reason I'm teaching all this, you just say, fly away, Peter, fly away, Paul. The same thing. You understand what I'm saying now? Why? Because you have one willpower. Don't try your willpower. Your willpower won't work. You will not say because of what? What would you say? Because of what? Because Jesus Christ has destroyed sin. He has condemned sin in the what? In the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse number 3. We look at it. For sin, he condemned sin. What? In the flesh. Condemned it. So, he said, but Pastor, the thing is strong. I'm saying it's not strong. You just don't know. It's a lie. The way sickness in your body is a lie. The way poverty is a lie. Huh? You are. The way health is yours, it's supposed to be yours. Right? Going down, darkness, failure is a lie. That is the way sin too. Sin is a lie. The truth, that is the truth. That is why they verse you. That's why when you finish, you feel bad. You know why? Because you know there's something in you, there's a nature in you that is beyond it. You only went to the light and so you come out, you're like, yeah. And you are not deceived to say it's still in my body. No, he condemns sin in your body. It's not your body, I'm saying. He had killed it, he destroyed it in the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, what did God do? He sent his son, for you to fight, you are dragging. Don't drag with sin. Don't say, I'm trying to push it. Don't try to push it. Say Jesus, that Jesus condemned sin. Where? In the flesh. Destroyed it. Took it away. So which sin is now inside you? Say where to? There's no sin inside me again. So believers should be able to go and say, at the end of this teaching, my voice is at the end of this, say where to? He became sin for me. So there's no sin again. Sin has gone. So if death has gone, sickness has gone, they forgot to tell you sin has gone too. They say sin, no, it's not here. I'm telling you, just walk away. Sin has gone too. You hear what I'm saying? They say it has gone. Say sin. Jesus Christ said, he settled the matter so and destroyed sin. He destroyed it. So there's no power, there's no hold of sin again. That is why he could say to that woman, I showed you all of them, I put all of them together. That's why he said to the sick of the palsy, your sin has been forgiven. Why? Because the palsy came from sin. Then he told the woman, he says, go. I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. He told us quickly to tell us people can live in that reality. That reality of the sin no more. Just do away with it. By standing, not by fighting it, by his cross. So because believers are fighting sin, let me tell you, I know. All we are dealing with Jesus, Pastor. All of we sing our church, we're playing in church, we'll go and say, nobody's perfect. And then you are accepting it. Once you accept it like that, you have to accept the consequence following it. That is why it's hard for you to resist the consequence while accepting sin. I'm showing you why it is hard. Do you? No, I'm going to go there again. The reason why, when you try to resist the consequence of sin, which is death, poverty, disease, and downward, is hard. Because you've not accepted the fact that you are resisting the consequence, you're not resisting the main thing there. And you have accepted sin. If believers accept sin, they have to accept the consequences. If you say sin is still in your body, you say Jesus failed. If Jesus failed, poverty will not be far from you. Death is in your body. I will do it too. You will see it clearly. You will go back and review the scriptures. If you say that sin has not been totally dealt with, you have made a mistake. The greatest mistake of your Christian walk is to say that, Pastor, this thing you don't understand. Don't say that. Go and review my scriptures. Review them. Think and meditate upon them. Because you have to first of all see clearly that sin has been wiped away. That I can come before God without condemnation now, because there's peace between me and God, and relate with God, and sin has been taken away from there. And now I walk without that consciousness of sin there. So there's nothing there. You should be able to say that. Then it will be easy for you to resist the consequence of sin. If he failed, he said the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. If he failed in that respect, okay, he has failed. Look at him. You can't claim the other one. You can't claim the other one. So did Jesus fail to take away our sins? That's the question to ask. If you say no, he took away my sins. He became sin for me and destroyed, condemned sin in the flesh. And you say clearly he succeeded there. You condemn sin, you will hate it. Then, when the consequence, because death is just a consequence, the sting of sin, don't worry, next week, I've come beyond my time. The sting of sin is death. That is the sting. So, at some point, you can't do anything. It can't come. If he's trying to bring it, on which bill are you bringing this debt on my head? Come on. I'm saying that the fight against Satan and those effects of sin will be easier. A believer should be progressively becoming holy. Sanctification. I know, you see those words, you say, Pastor, why are you saying all those things? I have to say it to you. That's the truth of ministry. If I don't say you, I will not be doing my job. Me, I will not be inside sin. I cannot. Believers should be progressing in sanctification. Sanctification means being set apart continuously for God. That means that we are walking in holiness. We are walking the holiness inside of you. We are walking it out, right? Holiness is the outworking of righteousness. That's the definition. Holiness is the outworking of righteousness. Now, if righteousness is the side of you, which is now the holiness is the outworking. When you outwork it, when you now say, I'm not doing this thing, that is holiness. Because you are what? Righteous. You cannot be holy if you are not already been made righteous. So we cannot just claim, we stop halfway. I'm righteous, but I'm not willing to walk out righteousness. When you walk it out in practical terms, you now say, that is what? Holiness. Righteousness is the seed. Holiness is the outworking of righteousness. You'll be progressing there. You'll be progressing there as you see sin on the cross and you walk away. See, you get to the point where it is. You know, you say, Pastor, this thing I did. You say, I know. It's not that power thing. I think there's one power. There's no power. You'll be able to just say, I know. I will not start talking about, brothers and sisters, I'm done. I know I've crossed my time. I beg you. I will not start talking about, like I said just now, I stay longer than I'm supposed to. I offend God. You see that now? Not the kind of sin you are still thinking about. That's it. Right? I say something, the Holy Spirit convicts me because what I convicts me of error with God. Because what I said, I will not have the boldness to say it before the person. And so I'm not telling this person I'm not doing this. And I'm not doing that. I walk away. And he says, this thing you have done is wrong. I didn't lie. This I lied. I will not have the boldness to say that person. You see, that's another level of discussing sin. We are not discussing that level. We are still discussing that one. We've not started. I'm telling you. I finish preaching, I go before my God. I say, Father, thank you. I delivered the word today. He says, see, you spoke in this direction. You touched this thing. You know, if you sense it to my spirit, you are missing. Ah, Father, I'm sorry. I'm confessing sorry for preaching out of order. We are there. That's where we are getting to. That's where you should be getting to. It's not, Pastor, this thing. Sometimes I just leave that one. That one is there. You are walking holiness, that you are walking in line that is so sensitive to the Spirit of God that you will not even utter something that is off. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will not utter, so you are uttering it, and Holy Spirit is convicting you there. Tell me, he reached there because we have not even left the basis. We are still dealing with that one. I'm telling you that one, sin has no dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It's inside your Bible. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Inside your Bible. Right? Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Huh? We took it from Isaac. Isaac should die. But Isaac did not die. God will provide for himself a lamb. That is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So therefore, I don't need to experience death anymore. Jesus Christ died for my sin. Right? The offering for sin has been settled. I will advise you in your study of my scriptures I've given you, and if you go back and you want to grow in this thing, I will send you. Go and read Isaiah 53. Right? He was made sin for us. The chastisement for our peace was what was upon him. By his stripes we were healed. Right? When he shall make his soul an offering for sin, then he shall see. You see, go and read Isaiah 53. You will see Jesus in Isaiah 53. And you will see that it was sin he was nailing. You won't find Satan there. I'm telling you, have I not told you now? You are checking and you will find that you won't find him there. You won't find him. In dealing with sin, dealt with Satan. It's consequence. Is this a good place to stop? Come on. I think it's a good place to stop. It's a good place to stop. Let us go and review these scriptures and look at them. I begin to say, I get angry. This is the first thing he took away. I'm still dealing with this one. Then you now say I should deal with the other ones, the other consequences. This one is taken away. He's right. He has taken it away. Don't fight with it. Do you hear what I'm saying? I didn't say, I'm not telling now what I'm saying. Don't fight with it. Say, Jesus Christ died. You say, Pastor, I'm trying. Don't try. Say, Jesus Christ died and took away the sin nature. He condemned it. The thing that is longing me and drawing me, he cannot even draw me. This is a lie. They tell you, say, to say temperature is a lie. Say, this drawing you too is a what? It's a lie. That one is real, but sex temperature is a lie. You see why you think that pastors are crazy? You see, they are just deceiving you. Go to hospital. They're not deceiving you. They've not taught you how the mechanism of how it works. Because we say he didn't succeed. If we say that he's still very much alive in me, he didn't succeed. He didn't take anything away. The thing he said he took away is inside all our bodies, Pastor. Abi? I'm talking nonsense. And then why are you saved? When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, it will tell me what I do. Self, Lord. It means I'm no longer my own Lord. Self, right? I'm no longer my own Lord. You are now my Lord. No. I don't accept him as my Lord. I accept him as my Savior. So where did he save you from? He saved me from Satan. How did he save me from Satan? I agree. How did he save me from Satan? I know. He came and killed Satan. Killed him. Yeah, he's alive, roaming the streets. He's roaming the streets. He didn't do anything. It means he failed. You see now, you anywhere you are targeting for your sin. He came to save you from your sins. He came to save you from the wrath of God. The person who is angry with you should be afraid of his God. I've told you people before. Don't play with the wrath of God. You won't stand it too. He even know we can't stand it. That is why he sent his son to come and save us. He said, when I want to wipe you now, when the time reaches to wipe this thing, I will wipe it so bad you won't like it. In saving us from that, obviously, that is implied. Satan is gone. Because he restores us back to a place where we are not supposed to be having conversation with Satan. I don't have any business with him. If he's trying to bring anything into my life, my first stand, is that I have peace with God. I hold my God. I have peace with God. You see, Nana, Jesus Christ has paid the price for me. So I don't have any business for this thing to even enter into my life. I'm standing there. I'll go forward from there. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
In the fear of the Lord, you can do that. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Right? The reason why we can't have confidence again is because we just feel that we can live in sin and start to do that. You can't have confidence. That's the problem. That's the truth. Believers should start working out sanctification. We should stand up and say, He has turned me away from my sins. He has turned me away. Has He turned you away from your sins?
Yes, sir.
Has He blessed you?
Yes, sir.
Let me catch you. Has He blessed you?
Yes, sir.
How did He bless you? So now, you are facing here before Satan. He has turned you away from your sin. That alone, he says, is blessing. So you are still looking for blessing. And you despise this blessing. You can't accept this blessing. The other blessings won't even start to follow. Bow your heads. I have victory. I have power over sin and self. I'm no longer walking by myself. That separation between me and God is not there. I now have peace with God. And self is dealt with. Satan follows suit. He was on the earth trying to do anything, but he couldn't do anything. He had to make Adam and Eve sin so that he can bring in death. Father, I thank you because I have victory over it again. I'm back at the point where you have forgiven me and you have empowered me so that I'm not living there anymore. Neither do I condemn you. You said to that woman, you said, go and sin no more. You have turned me away from my sin. Today, I am no longer fighting sin. There is no fight between me and sin. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away my sin. And He died for my sin and took it away. He nailed my sin on the cross. He bore my sin in His own body. He became sin for me. I have enough scriptures to quote and stand and say, He bore my sin in His own body. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He became sin for me. Sin has been dealt with. He has turned me away. I live in the power of God. I live and stand in the presence of God, enjoying and walking the fullness of the death of Jesus Christ. Come on. Whatever it is, you have victory over lust. You have victory over greed. You have victory over immorality. You have victory over death. You have victory over self. You have victory over Satan. Because you have victory over sin. Sin has been condemned in the flesh. Sin has no power to put you under. cannot be in dominion over you. So, Shapro Kosite Lempra Kata, Jakali Koprobo Legesita Lamahandes. I want the church to pray. I want the church to pray. I want this light to burn inside of you. I want you to be angry and say, ah, Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He died and rose again victorious. And he destroyed sin in the flesh. He condemned sin. He paid the price. But there's power over sin in my life. Jesus, Jesus, you have saved me from my sins. Jesus, you have saved me from my sins. Jesus, you have turned me away from my sins. Satabaka lamasu ureke telemaka. Turn me away from it. You have paid the price and you have turned me away from sin. So now I'm walking in the light of holiness. I'm walking in holiness and righteousness. There is no condemnation. I rise up, I go and sin no more. He doesn't have power over me. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come on, pray. I'm not ending this service. I want to see the outworking. I want to see the power of God. I want to see that you pray. You see the power of God breaking sin, breaking the power of the devil, break yourself, submit yourself to God. I belong to God. Jesus, you are my Lord and you are my Savior. You are my Lord and you are my Savior. I submit myself to you. You have saved me from the effect of sin. It's complete salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will come to God the way we are. But like he said to that woman, there must not be progression in our walk. Do you understand what I'm saying? Come the way you are, right? Don't go back the same way. Stay with me. What will I do to you? I will begin to what? Transform you. Do you understand what I'm saying now? That is Jesus. Jesus is saying, he said, all men should come the way they are. Then he will take away that thing that makes you can't come to God. Now that you have come to God, what will God not be doing inside of you? He will not be working out his righteousness in you. That outworking is what we see and say is holiness. Do you understand what I'm saying? Neither do I condemn you. Go. If you like, do it again, come back, I will not condemn you. You see that is good. Even you will say that does not make sense. Neither do I condemn you. Go, you are free. Free, do what you like. No. He said, no, do not continue there. I have given you the power not to bother. I'm saying that no matter where you are right now in this church, or you joined us online and you following this meeting, or you watch this meeting from years from now, it's not about where you are. The sin has been destroyed. And he will accept you and receive you the way you are. But you must understand that his goal is that you will now be transformed in his presence. You will not rise up. We are not saying to believers, condemnation has gone, so let us continue to go out the way we are. No, he is saying that condemnation has gone, so therefore, now rise up and walk in newness of life. Right? I will come and review. We'll review scriptures next week again in Romans chapter number 6. And all that, but I want you to know that we rise up no matter where we are. We should be able to say now that the power of sin is broken. and you will rise up and say, Father, I have been saved from my sins. Now that I have been saved from my sins, I don't want them anymore. Right? I don't want them anymore. And then we'll start to work it out. And we'll take our stand. Not trying to fight sin. Don't try. He didn't make us fight anything. Not Satan, not self, not sin. He went to the cross and dealt with them. So we go to the cross. Every time, everything you must do must be go to the cross. On the cross, he destroys sin. And so you will say, Jesus, he has saved me from my sins. The sins inside of you have been, he has saved you from it. Sin will no longer now have that power over you because I have been saved from my sins. I have been turned away from my sins. He became sin for me. You see all that scripture. You stand on that scripture. I want you to pray next few minutes. I'm not running anywhere. And say, in the name of Jesus, I'm taking those steps now. I'm walking out of here. I'm walking out of this place. A changed person. A changed person. And those defrauding things there. Those things I live in. I thought sin still had power over me. I didn't know that sin had been dealt with. Sin has been dealt with. Come on. Sin has been dealt with. He destroyed it. He paid the price and gave me the power. He paid the price and gave me the power. He paid the price. This is that service where the power of sin will be broken in your life. This is that service where addictions will be broken. Alcoholism. Alcoholism. Sexual immorality. Masturbation. Lust. Come on. In the name of Jesus. I'm not living in that sin anymore. Sato Koberi Keteli Maka. Ragole Malabaha. Don't tell the book today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sada la baka la baha la ba. Sin will not rule in your body. Sin will not rule in your mind. Lost, addiction, whatever sin it is, today you say it is dealt with on the cross. He has saved me from my sins. He has turned me away from sin. Greed is broken. Greed is broken. I've been forgiven, I've been empowered to live above sin. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross. Thank you, Lord. Sato Bali Kalisiteli. Or whatever it is, the lost. Somebody said, Pastor, I'm dealing with pornography. Pastor, I'm dealing with lust. Pastor, I'm dealing with greed. Pastor, I'm dealing with alcoholism. Today, stand and declare that the power of sin has been broken because Jesus defeated sin. So you are not dealing with those things anymore. Don't try to deal with them. Stand in the way of Jesus. Stand on the cross of Jesus. And say, Jesus has saved me from this thing. You open your eyes and you see Jesus. Open your eyes and see Jesus. You have saved me from my sin. Kasato mi boko sito mi boko. Jama prende kebe kebe se. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By doing this, I'm bringing healing to the church. I'm bringing prosperity to the church. Do you understand? So don't be in a hurry. Say, you should pray for it. I'm not doing that yet. If you are here, you are dealing with anything. Like I said, alcoholism, lust, sexual immorality, everything is there. It's like you see, it's there, it's there. And you are dealing with those things. You don't now stand. What you say now is that, see, Jesus has saved me from you. We're not mentioning Satan now. Did I say Satan? That's what I'm telling you. It's an entity by itself. Satan can stand on one side, you'll still be doing it. You'll still be there. You don't even need to do it. It's inside, it's a nature. That's the nature. And Jesus has taken that nature and nailed that sin nature on the cross. He didn't just pay the price for sin, he took the sin nature and destroyed it. He himself bore my sin in his body on the cross. So he took the sin nature, that nature in you that claims and draws towards death. He took it and destroyed it, then forgave you and cleansed you of it. So he said, then I want you to take the statement exactly when he says he has saved me from my sin. Say, he has saved me from death, Abi, from hell, from everything, Abi. I want you to also say, yeah, Jesus has saved me from greed. Jesus has saved me from lust. Do you understand what I'm saying? You take the salvation of Jesus and apply it to that thing, whatever it is that is disturbing you. That is in secret. In secret you are living there. But we stand there and we do that. And you say, yeah, we are trying to do that. You say, Jesus, you are saving me from whatever you call it there. You say he will save his people from what? Their sins. That sin that is inside of you, that nature, that thing that is working that thing in you. And the thing about it is that it's different for all of us. This one I deal with, this one, that one I deal with. Oh, see, there's this thing in my heart. It's just lost. It's probably there. I mean, young men will deal with this effectively. See, it's pornography. I'm pressing that thing. I'm doing that thing. Somebody says, alcohol. I think, somebody says, drinking alcohol. I can't help myself. Who said what? He has saved you from alcoholism. You see that now. But you say, he has saved me from sickness and disease and poverty. We don't want to even mention the word sin from our mouth. And I'm telling you now, we have to. We will say, Jesus has saved me from alcoholism. This alcoholism is something that is not, I don't like it, destroys my body. It affects me, there's no pride in it. It's in darkness, and I don't like it. There's no point to do that in darkness and come out and stand in light. And when I'm standing in light, I'm still drawing that darkness there. And I'm like, no, I don't want. And I want to try and fight it. Brothers and sisters, don't try and fight it. Who will save me from this body of death? I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's what Paul said. You should be able to say, Father, I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord. All wretched man that I am, who shall save, deliver me from this body of death? This body of sin, this body of death. I can't find myself. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord. So you say, Christ Jesus, my Lord, you have saved me from, you call whatever it is, you have saved me from it. I'm not trying to fight, are you trying to fight it? No, Jesus has saved you from me. For he shall save his people from their sins. His Lamb of God that takes away. He took it. When he was taken away, he took it away. Nails on the cross. He's not there. Say, in the name of Jesus. Can we pray now? Can we say, in the name of Jesus? Fato beke ligas. Fito beka. Librokosa. In the name of Jesus. He has taken away that sin. He has taken away your sin nature. It is because of the sin nature that you actually sin. It's because of the sin nature that you actually sin. And he has taken away the sin nature. He has taken away the nature, the drive, the power of sin. He has destroyed the power of sin. So he's no longer there. You just need to know and don't fight it. You say, Jesus, you have taken away this sin. You have taken away the sin nature. I know the sin nature. Inside that sin nature is lust, alcoholism, sexual immorality, greed. All those things are inside the sin nature, and it destroys the sin nature. Pride. He has taken away that thing there. Thank you, Father. So baka libro costico ne mast. Zepto belike res. Jubrakete ligo bastos. Oh, Jesus. Let us pray.